airline crew rest rules are stalled again. Congress gets heat for leaving town with the FAA unfunded. And another piece of the shuttle Columbia has been found. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Thursday, August 4th, 2011. 2 years ago, in his first appearance at Oshkosh as FAA administrator, former airline pilot and former pilot union president Randy Babbitt made it clear that getting crew rest and duty rules updated would be a front-burner priority for him. Well, it still hasn't happened, and if the airlines have their way, it might be delayed much longer. New rules were supposed to take effect on Monday, but the Wall Street Journal reports that direct appeals to the White House Office of Management and Budget have prompted the administration to review the rules, potentially adding weeks or months to the date on which they might take effect. Cargo and charter operators criticize the rules as a one-size-fits-all approach. Using scientific research on sleep patterns, the FAA concluded that pilots on flights which include periods of darkness and multiple takeoffs and landings, much more common in the regional charter and cargo sectors, must reduce shifts from the current 16-hour limit to as little as 9 hours. The National Air Carrier Association said earlier this year that provision could require pilot staffs at some carriers to be bloated by another 40%, a disaster to companies which fly, among other missions, transport flights for U.S. military troops. ALPA, the Airline Pilots Association, issued a frustrated statement this week criticizing the White House for caving on the issue. ALPA notes the NTSB has placed addressing human fatigue on its most wanted list of transportation safety improvements since the list began in 1990, and that the U.S. violates ICAO rules by failing to use science-based regulations for crew rest. President Obama yesterday criticized Congress for going on its August recess without reauthorizing the FAA. The House went into recess Monday without waiting for the Senate to reach a conclusion on authorizing funds for the FAA, which has been partially shut down since July 22nd. This means that for the nearly 4,000 employees who have been furloughed without pay, the earliest they can now return to work would be the first part of September. The Senate adjourned Tuesday without passing a reauthorization bill or continuing resolution. The GOP-controlled House passed an FAA bill before the summer recess, but it contained cuts in the Essential Air Services program, which pays as much as $2,000 per seat in subsidies for flights serving some rural airports, which Democrats want to keep in the bill. The chairman of the Senate Commerce Committee, John D. Rockefeller of Virginia, took to the Senate floor Monday in an attempt to pass a clean extension through the August recess. Utah Republican Orrin Hatch objected and blocked the move. The decision to block short-term authorization leaves the FAA unable to collect ticket taxes, risks an approaching deadline for certifying airports to handle the new Boeing 747-8 freighter, and puts a hold on hundreds of millions of dollars in construction contracts at airports across the U.S. DOT Secretary Ray LaHood promises no safety issues will be compromised and adds, quote, "Safety inspectors are on duty and are doing their job. No one needs to worry about safety," unquote. But those safety inspectors are reportedly personally footing the bills for their travel and expenses. The New York Times reports that it's not clear how long that will continue. Tuesday, the Senate adjourned without taking action on the bill. If no action is taken before legislators return from vacation on September 7th, nearly 75,000 people will go without work another 5 weeks, and the FAA will lose about $1 billion in revenues. Ironically, most members of Congress likely flew home on commercial airliners. The White House has announced that Ashton Carter, who currently serves as the U.S. Undersecretary of Defense for Acquisition, Technology, and Logistics, has been nominated by President Obama to be the next Deputy Defense Secretary. If confirmed, Carter would replace William Lynn, who's expected to leave the post later this year after more than 2 years on the job. Carter has an impressive resume for the position, having served in defense posts in the Bush and Clinton administrations. In its announcement, the White House noted that Carter, quote, "directed military planning during the 1994 crisis over North Korea's nuclear weapons program and was instrumental in removing all nuclear weapons from the territories of Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and Belarus," unquote. But Carter is being called on the carpet by a group of senators for F-35 program maintenance cost projections, which could total over $1 trillion over 50 years, far above what the manufacturer, Lockheed Martin, projects it should cost. The senators, who include 5 members of the Senate Armed Services Committee and 1 Democrat, wrote a joint letter to the Pentagon, which stopped short of calling for a revised estimate, but questioned whether the data was based on legacy aircraft programs or on actual F-35 projections, which predict a need for fewer maintenance personnel than older planes. Projections which are too conservative could make the F-35 look like a bad value. Two of the senators who signed the letter, John Cornyn and Kay Bailey Hutchison, represent Texas, where the F-35 is assembled. A drought in Texas, which has lowered the level of Lake Nacogdoches, has uncovered a strange object. Strange, that is, to anybody but NASA. The 4-foot-diameter metal sphere has been identified as part of the Space Shuttle Columbia, which broke up on re-entry into Earth's atmosphere in 2003, claiming the lives of 7 crew members. The Associated Press reports in USA Today that CNN was told by Lisa Malone, a spokesperson for the Kennedy Space Center, quote, "It's one of ours," unquote. She adds that the tank will be picked up by the agency and taken to KSC, where it will join other shuttle debris in storage. A blogger covering a science beat for the Houston Chronicle says the tank held super-cold liquid hydrogen for the shuttle's fuel cells. USA Today readers have posted comments openly wondering how much debris from the breakup of Columbia has been found but not turned in by private citizens over the years. Still ahead, air traffic controllers get their flight deck ride-alongs back. Gulfstream gets its type certificate validated in China. And the Thai Royal Army gets training on the Enstrom 480B and winter sports. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3222.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Thursday, August 4th. I'm Paul Plack. The FAA announced that effective Monday, air traffic controllers will once again be able to ride in aircraft cockpits with commercial pilots as part of a voluntary education program. The flight deck training program is designed to improve safety by giving controllers a greater understanding of the pilot's experience and workload in the cockpit. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt explained, quote, "This program gives our new generation of air traffic controllers a chance to see and hear what the pilot is experiencing, so they know exactly what's happening on the other end of the microphone. As a pilot, I think this important training will give controllers a richer picture of the airspace system," unquote. Flight deck training allows 2 training trips in a calendar year instead of the 8 permitted under an earlier version of the program that was discontinued in 2001. Controllers will not be allowed to fly to the same airport on consecutive flights. A controller must have advance approval to participate and must also submit an itinerary as well as medical and security information. Foreign travel is not permitted. The FAA will evaluate and monitor the program over the next 6 months. Gulfstream Aerospace Corp. has received type certificate validation for its G-150 from the Civil Aviation Administration of China, allowing operators to register the business jet there. Senior VP Larry Flynn says the validation, quote, "demonstrates our commitment to ensuring Gulfstream ownership continues to be a smooth and simple process regardless of where the aircraft is registered. Getting type certificate validation from China makes an already attractive aircraft even more so," unquote. The G-150 can fly from Singapore to Beijing in 6 hours and 10 minutes and travel nonstop from Hong Kong to Delhi or Beijing to Delhi at Mach 0.8. The mid-sized jet also offers several options to improve safety, including enhanced vision and WAS LPV. The G-150 has also received type certification validation from the Ukraine, Israel, the United States, Chile, the European Union, the Philippines, Canada, and Brazil. NASA's Dawn spacecraft, the first ever to orbit an object in the main asteroid belt, is spiraling toward its first of 4 intensive science orbits. That initial orbit of the rocky world Vesta begins August 11th at an altitude of nearly 1,700 miles and will provide in-depth analysis of the asteroid. Vesta is the brightest object in the asteroid belt as seen from Earth and is thought to be the source of a large number of meteorites that fall to Earth. After traveling nearly 4 years and 1.7 billion miles, Dawn has been captured by Vesta's gravity, and there are currently about 1,800 miles between the asteroid and the spacecraft. The giant asteroid and its new neighbor are about 114 million miles from Earth. Chris Russell, Dawn's principal investigator at UCLA, calls Vesta, quote, the smallest terrestrial planet. The latest imagery provides much justification for our expectations. They show that a variety of processes were once at work on the surface of Vesta and provide extensive evidence for Vesta's planetary aspirations, unquote. And finally today, Enstrom Helicopter Corporation reports it has completed training of 21 Royal Thai Army pilots and 28 Royal Thai mechanics on the Royal Thai Army's new 480B turbine training helicopters. The students were split into two groups, the first half training in March, the second half in June, in Michigan. The pilot training included a week of ground school, specific avionics training, and 5 hours of flight training for each pilot. The mechanic training was an intensive 2-week classroom course. Beyond the training, the students got to see the factory and experience a little bit of American culture. The 480B was selected in a competitive bidding process that included aircraft from 7 different major manufacturers for a program that includes 16 aircraft, spares, tooling, and training. Enstrom's turbine-powered 480B is available as a 3-place advanced trainer and patrol aircraft, or as a 3-to-5-place executive transport. The students in the March group got an additional new experience, snow. Enstrom's advanced flight and maintenance instructor, Charles Powis, says the Thai language doesn't even have a word for snow, but that didn't stop some of the students from trying their hand at sledding on the snowbanks in the parking lot. That's the latest from Aero News. If you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iPodder, Podcast Alley, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Platt. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.